The year was 1993. The young pastor enjoyed a fulfilling call in southern Illinois, about 100 miles south of here, in an established country parish and school. The congregation was filled with faithful saints who supported the preaching of the gospel through the ministry of the church and the school. These saints also embraced this young pastor and his wife and five little girls. Who could ask for more? The church and school kept the young pastor busy, but as a result of joining the Navy Reserve while in seminary, the young pastor also served as the chaplain for a Marine Corps infantry battalion headquartered here in St. Louis. The two flocks, Christ Lutheran and 3rd Battalion, 24th Marines, could not have been more different. On the one hand, there were these faithful Lutherans living in the bottomlands of the Mississippi River. On the other hand, there were about 800 Marines scattered across the Midwest, whose lives were not always peaceful and who needed a spiritual guide whom they could trust. Both flocks demanded much of the young pastor. While the ministry with the Marines was fulfilling, the young pastor resisted making the shift to full-time active duty ministry, despite the encouragement of synodical leaders concerned about the need for faithful Lutheran chaplains. The young pastor's unspoken hesitation was a concern for keeping his young family safe. How could he drag his wife and five little girls off to some foreign country like Spain or Okinawa, Japan, or threatening big cities like Norfolk, Virginia, or, God forbid, San Diego, California? No, the Mississippi River bottoms was safe until they weren't. In the spring of 1993, rains from the northern part of the Mississippi River caused it to flood. When the levees broke up north, whole communities were lost. By summertime, out of concern for the state of the local levees, the young pastor evacuated his five little girls to go live with their grandparents in Oklahoma. His wife lived with friends on high ground. The National Guard relocated the church's furnishings and sealed off the community from looters. The young pastor stayed in the bottoms, conducting services, visiting members, and bringing cold water to National Guardsmen protecting their community. The only truly safe place in ministry is to listen to God's call. So when the floodwaters subsided and people got back to a somewhat normal life, synodical leaders again called the young pastor with the plea to come on active duty. After prayerful deliberation with faithful counselors and the blessing of his faithful flock there in southern Illinois, the young pastor acquiesced to God's call to serve as a full-time Navy chaplain and moved his young family to San Diego for what he thought would be one tour of 3 years. 27 years later, after proclaiming the gospel while deployed on board ships, praying with first responders at Ground Zero, comforting warriors in Afghanistan and offering ethical advice to military leaders. God has yet to release me from my call, and I am profoundly grateful. St. Augustine, in his Confessions, begins by saying, "Our hearts are restless until resting in you." Of course, he was describing the universal human condition of restlessness until, by God's grace, through faith, we receive salvation won by Christ at the cross. And yet, Augustine's observation seems an apt description for the ongoing wrestling match we have between the old Adam and the new man. To release our restless hold on our lives and to rest in God's grace and care for us. Referencing the experience of the Israelites' exodus from Egypt, this is the warning of our text this morning, that we would not continue in the restless condition of humanity, but rest in the gospel. To be sure, our human condition is pure restlessness. We are prone to this. Our text reminds us, "Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience." Yes, disobedience is our natural condition. Disobedience in that we were born in unbelief. So it is by God's grace that he has gifted us with the faith to believe the gospel, believe his promises. But the example of the Israelites is sobering. They saw God's hand, his work, freeing them from slavery, and yet they began to doubt and to think that they were somehow now in charge. So too is the danger for us, those called to serve in his church, that we begin to put limits on where and when and how God is calling us. Like the Israelites, we define success or safety. This path to assuming we oversee our call is marked with listening to the wrong voice. We listen to our voice instead of Christ's. Our text quotes David from Psalm 95. "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." David is referencing the terrible grumbling of the Israelites at Meribah and Massah, which, I'm sad to say, echo my own concerns about family and why I resisted God's call to active duty. The Israelites said, "Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become a prey. Would it not be better for us to be back to Egypt?" No, that would not be better. Our only true rest is in Christ. Listen to him. Follow him. Our text reassures us. "So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his." No, we know we don't work ourselves into heaven, certainly. But in daily life, we can also rest in the assurance that God's care and his leading for us in ministry. In Christ, we today reside in a Sabbath rest. In contrast to our disobedience, Christ shares our humanity, but does so without sin. He is obedient. Our text reminds us, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. St. Peter reminds us of the personal impact for us of Christ's obedience. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. Our redemption in Christ brings us into his rest, into his Sabbath. As he rested from his work at the cross, we rest from our work of not only trying to earn our salvation, but also rest from being the one who even calls the shots. Yet, how subtle the temptation to think we oversee our ministry, to think we create safe venues for our family, to think we create the return from the gospel proclamation, to think that it is by our might that we are successful in our divine call. These temptations are overcome by the means of grace, word and sacrament, not just the tools of our trade, but the precious food that feeds not only our flock, but us too. Our text declares, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This living and active word will be our defense. The sword protecting us from the old Adam, seeking to pull us into illusion and disobedience. By necessity, we stay connected to God's word and sacraments for us to faithfully answer his call. It is in this new relationship, in Christ's Sabbath rest, fed by his word and sacraments, that we, those called by him, live by faith. As our text says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When is our time of need? Right now. As you have been in ministry, maybe for many, many years, you know how true this is. Every day, as we wrestle with our vocation, we draw near to the throne of grace, knowing that we will receive Christ's mercy and grace, and he will be the captain of our call, our leader. In that vein, let me invite you into a conversation about military chaplaincy. Is our captain calling you to bring the gospel to warriors and their families? Navy leaders have testified before Congress that they expect to be in conflict with the forces of the People's Republic of China within the next 5 years. And it breaks my heart to think about sending Marines, sailors, and Coast Guardsmen into harm's way without the pure gospel being proclaimed to them. our recent experience in Afghanistan allowed LCMS chaplains to be on the ground there with Marines and sailors and soldiers to proclaim the gospel. And it comforts me to think of the Marines and sailor that we lost and the soldier that we lost, that they possibly could have heard that pure gospel before they were killed. Or to think about families waiting for their service members at home without the reassuring pastoral presence, reassuring them that God does not abandon them in their pain or their anxiety or their grief. But I will tell you, we are short of Navy chaplains to minister to the Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard. So I would ask you to pray. Pray that the Lord will send faithful pastors to serve as chaplains. Pray for our chaplains currently serving. Pray for our flock, the young men and women called to protect you, your family, your neighborhood, your nation. But of course, as God has taught me over and over, He oversees our ministry. He will lead the right pastors to serve as chaplains. He will lead you as you answer His call to serve the church wherever He will call you. You will not be in charge. You will not be in charge of your call. You will not be in charge of any return for your labor. God will see to that. He sent our Lord Jesus Christ to do the work necessary for our salvation. And Christ brings us into His Sabbath rest. Our restless hearts find their rest in Christ. And we simply follow where our captain leads. Amen. Now may the peace of Christ, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.